G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottlers proudly presents BBN Chalk Talk, a sports show with a distinct Kentucky flavor.
Welcome to BBN Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottling. My name is Max Gubby. With me always is Matt Smith and Greg Lyle. Football, it's still on our minds and still on the high. Paul Feinbaum comes out with his rankings, and UK's up there. You could even say top 10. Yes. Music Bowl. We're going to be doing our music poll, and I think everyone already knows who won that. And then Morrow dropping some truth bombs and Easter eggs involving the Combine. There's a lot of Wildcats that are going to be going up to Indianapolis. We'll be talking women's basketball versus Vandy, men's basketball versus Bama, and then, of course, the fattest thing I did this week. Lyle, Matt, how are we doing?
Hungry.
Yeah, doing good, man.
Want to go eat?
Again, as always. But no, man, doing good. Still, like you said earlier, still living on a football high here and just watching everybody talk about this Kentucky team and the underdog story again in a bowl game as it's been all season and just the way that these guys were able to play. It's been fun talking with everybody at work and everybody else, family members, things like that, just on what really happened in this game and what it came down to, which I think we've already kind of covered right after the game. But even better, just the fact that as it sinks in, it just goes to show more and more how special this season was.
And guys, everybody too, understand they have not released the final poll. Everybody's going to ESPN.com and looking at last week's poll and saying, we didn't move up. They're still ranked ahead of us.
Yeah.
That's not the final poll. Week 15 poll is not the final poll.
Right.
They're waiting till after the national championship. All the bowl games technically are done, but they're still waiting for the national championship before they do the official final poll. So everybody relax. We will be ranked above Penn State. We just calm down.
So everything will be just fine.
Yes.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. So, but
anyway,
yeah,
but Feinbaum's got his top 10.
Love it.
Which is great. And then I know this wasn't really per script, but it's really to a nod to you, Lyle, for Texas being back and basically destroying any sort of idea of a 8-team playoff to ever happen now.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Georgia lost, UCF lost.
UCF lost. Oklahoma lost.
Like, Oklahoma lost, Notre Dame lost, just like,
yeah.
I think that just says that it needs to be 16 teams.
Yeah. Doesn't mean it needs to be small.
It needs to be 16 now.
No, think about it. I was thinking about this the other day. If you do 16 teams and you don't have a month off, you just start round one the week after the season's over, you're fine. You play the amount of number of weeks and you end at the same time you did.
Yeah.
It's just more ball games for those that keep winning and those that aren't. Hey, your bowl game, instead of being a New Year's Day bowl game, is, December 1st ball game.
Yeah.
So I think it's possible. I think it needs to be 16. I think the losses that we're saying doesn't mean that it only needs to be four. I think there's more parity out there. You need to have more games. If these upsets can happen and these things can happen, and that's what makes the NCAA basketball tournament so great, are those Cinderella stories and seeing how far they can go. And I think it could be done in college football as well.
Yep.
But yes, it was nice for Texas to seal the deal. And
I only got through about the midway through the third quarter of that game before I went to sleep. And the whole time I kept saying, wow, I was just like, good for Texas, but I'm just waiting for Georgia to do their thing.
Exactly.
Working. I went to bed and I woke up and I go, huh, I guess it never happened. So that was that.
The sad part about it, though, is Bevo has to sit out the first half of the season opener for the targeting call. So we won't have Bevo at the home opener for the first half. He can come out in the second half.
Oh, that's awesome.
But, you know, I've heard stuff, and, you know, some of the players have come out and said that pregame there was almost a couple scuffles, that Georgia was talking so much trash. And every time, you know, they don't belong there and this, that, the other. And he said by the second drive they got quiet, they knew they had him.
Yeah.
Oh, they're done.
And you can make the argument maybe Georgia was hungover, but that's just not like a Kirby Smart team to to act like that, that they've got a hangover. And I don't know if per se Texas is like in top four again, but I mean, that was just abusive murder ball of what Texas playing.
What Texas did in Oklahoma, the first game.
Yeah.
And I could not, like, I remember it was 17-0, and I go to bed early, and I was like, I'm not going to stay up to watch this while I know Georgia's going to come back and win. Go to sleep. I wake up at 4:30 every morning to go work out, and I'm on the elliptical, and they've got the end of the Georgia-Texas game on, I guess, for like – it came on like at 1 o'clock or something. And I'm watching it, and I'm on the elliptical. I'm like, wait a second. Georgia's not coming back.
Yep.
Why are they not coming back?
Yep.
It's Georgia. Why? And here I was, and I wish there was – I really hope the surveillance footage never shows up, because here I am just looking at the TV, like pointing directly at the TV and losing my mind over this. Like, how could Georgia blow this? And then after watching some of the highlights today, kind of rewatching some of them, I was like, okay, yeah, they're actually that good.
Yep.
And, but I was the only person in the gym that morning.
Yeah, love your
so you 5, just
10 a.m.
Yeah, 5:10.
I think I'd get up early. No, bro. But that was a good way to wake up.
Yeah.
It's like, this is stupid.
Yep. So, congratulations on Texas, Greg, and congratulations on the bowl pick victory. He's now up by 2 because Texas wins, so we weren't able to tie it all up and figure out what to do as a tiebreaker, so he's up by 2, so no matter what happens.
Now I can pick Alabama and not worry about it.
Yeah, now you can pick Alabama and not worry about it. I think we actually have to pick the Senior Bowl now, right?
No, you two do. Because you two are tied now,
yeah,
right?
We're tied for second. So tied for second.
If you two both pick a winner – either you go opposites in the national championship game and
– dibs on Bama.
I pick it Bama also.
Okay, no. So then y'all got to
let's call do it.
A Senior Bowl.
No, let's just call it a total score. A total score between the two teams like they do in, like, March Madness for tiebreakers.
That means Max has to do math.
Yep.
No.
That's his kryptonite. That's my plan, my trap.
Nope, I'm staying at second.
He just wants to stay tied for second. That's good enough for you.
I'm done.
That's why I can't have nice things. And just so you know, I did, in honor of the victory yesterday, I did wear my OK Cool Hook'em shirt all day long.
Good.
And told everybody about your tweet and how disappointed you were. And then you got me that shirt.
Yep. It's all your fault, Max, actually.
You know what, though? The joy that I brought Lyle with that shirt, I'll take it. I'll take it.
That's awesome. Oh, man. That's good.
Matt had a win this week. He suckered us into the win, but he's going to win the music poll.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I am. That was an easy one. You guys are suckers on that one. Anytime I could put Grove Street up every week, and I guarantee I would win from here on out.
Of course you would.
Yeah.
Well, they don't ever play the basketball.
Yeah, that's true. But I think people. Keep doing it, and we'll be able to tell like how long the football high lives. Like it'll start. The percentages will start changing week by week until.
I mean, because
like,
they would drop it loses. In volleyball.
Yeah.
They dropped it in volleyball.
Yep. Yep.
But I don't know why they.
Yeah.
They don't seem to do it in basketball. 62%. Left there's still some time to vote because I think I ran this all the way through Saturday.
Yeah.
So there is time to vote, but 60%. There's 3% of our listeners have voted for Michael Bublé.
That's concerning.
That concerns me a little bit. But Max is coming in strong, 35% AC/DC. I think you went first, so you didn't know.
Yeah.
To throw. I threw off the Michael Bublé pick. I am not a Michael Bublé fan, y'all, so I don't want anybody thinking that.
Here's the thing, though, Max. Here's what I'll – there's not really any rules behind it, but I say you try AC/DC again next week because that kind of wasn't fair.
I'm not going to now. Just because you told me to, I'm not going to now.
Oh, well, fine. I was trying to be nice.
That's how stubborn I am.
I'll pick ACDC and win with it, and then you'll feel real
probably.
He'll be so disgruntled.
Yeah.
Please, no.
Yeah. That's happening.
Go ahead. See what happens.
Now, the real problem is when you try to get David to actually play it on repeat. That probably won't happen.
He won't. Like, you may get grocery party once.
Maybe.
You may get grocery party once. But, anywho.
Grab an ice cold crush soda. Take a sip. What do you think of? Are you taken way back to summer days as a kid when you were quenching your thirst with that satisfying fruity flavor in between rounds of hide and seek with your friends? Or do you get an excited butterflies in your stomach kind of feeling that you can only get when you're crushing hard on someone? Whether you're sipping on one at home, at the park on a warm sunny day, or after a game-winning buzzer beater, you can always count on Crush Soda to put more flavor in your fun and crush your thirst, no matter what. But don't let that ever fresh taste of Crush fool you. Crush goes back, way back. In fact, we've been crushing it since 1906 in caffeine-free flavors such as Nectarious Orange and Lip Smackical Grape. There's guaranteed to be a crush for everyone. So go on, refresh with an ice-cold Crush Soda today.
Question, do you manage a business that uses advertising to market to your customer base? Today, there are more marketing channels, mediums, and opportunities than at any other time in our history. It's a fact. Radio's audience continues to grow, adding new listeners by the millions every year. And now with podcasts and more streaming audio in the mix, the universe of listeners continues to expand. When it comes to impacting consumer behavior, nothing succeeds quite like radio. Listening to a show is an activity that involves our attention, our imagination, and our engagement. Psychologists believe this sort of cognitive processing is why radio is so much more effective at influencing behavior. And because radio is so often part of our communities and daily habits, it is one of the most trusted ways to advertise, whether it is getting people to go online and make a purchase, stopping it to a restaurant, or spreading the word for a product. Nothing works better than radio. Do you think partnering with BB and Chalk Talk to advertise is a good fit for your company? Want to know all the different ways we can help you reach more customers? Contact us today at info@bbandchalktalk.com, and we will follow up immediately to answer your questions.
Welcome back to BB and Chalk Talk. We appreciate Max taking us out into that little commercial break there. With some technical difficulties, Max is not going to be on the rest of the show, but it worked out perfect because we're talking round ball anyway, so I don't even know that he would be giving much input or doing much besides playing on his phone.
He gets a little lost. We got to bring him back every now and then, so...
Yeah, we do. But the one thing we were going to talk about that he won't be here to discuss before we went to the break is... on the football side still, that Coach Morrow had tweeted out, and did he say it in the presser as well, or was he in there? Was it just a tweet
that he sent out?
That he sent out saying that there have been 8 guys already for UK that have been invited.
He's the NFL liaison, so he's going to get that stuff first.
Right. And been invited to the combine.
He didn't say names.
Right.
So we don't know.
But we're suspecting. We talked about it a little bit. I don't think any of us thought 8, but we thought maybe 4 or 5. But we're looking at Josh, Benny, CJ, Mike Edwards. We're thinking Lonnie is going to get in there. Bunchy, George, 7. And then we were thinking maybe Darius West as the 8th that got invites. And then possibly could be Jordan Jones.
Could be.
Could be Dorian Baker. Even though he didn't have...
Well, he said there was 3 others that he was...
That he thinks.
He heard that he was going to get that haven't gotten the official invite yet.
Right.
So, I mean, that's 11, and that's what Coach Stoops had said, too, when he said that we were all kind of...
Yeah. And it's one of those things a lot of people might think about that. Like, you know, if Dorian does get the invite, you know, a guy like that where he had really, I mean, lack of better terms, a disappointing season for Kentucky on what we were fans and what I'm sure the coaching staff and what he was expecting of himself. But when you have a guy that's built like that, the NFL scouts don't necessarily care
they do care to some degree on what happened.
You hear this
he's
a lot.
Got upside.
He's got upside.
He's got the physique. He's got a lot of things that are going for him. They want to see him in one of that environment. And so
and that's one of the reasons why they talked about Lonnie Johnson, too. Because of his size, because of his length, he's got that upside.
Exactly.
That NFL teams are looking for.
Right. Right, which is awesome. So we'll see, you know, and stay updated on that and just, you know, kind of pay attention to see who those guys are as invites are happening, as these players are accepting those things, those invites to go there. And that should make for a really fun combine to watch. We already love watching the combine just because even though we know that the combine is only a fraction of what you should be judged off of, it's still fun to watch and still fun to compare yourself to some of the other guys that played a position like you did, or just kind of watching them go through, because you know exactly what they're feeling and exactly what they're going through.
As a strength coach, I love to watch the drills, not just the strength, you know, the 40 and the vertical and the long jump, but I love watching the position drills too, because you get to see a lot through that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we'll get close, as we get closer to the combine, we'll be able to talk more about, you know, our thoughts on it, because a lot of people think it's all about who can jump the highest, run the fastest, lift the most, things like that. But there's a lot that goes into it as far as small as paying attention to detail. Like what the directions you're given and what the drill is. Like if a kid can't pay attention and can't do the drill right, like those are going to be marks against them. So, I mean, there's lots of things that go into this.
I wish we could see them take the Wonderlic.
Oh, I know. I know.
That would be fun.
But anyway, so that was the last bit of football news. We got some round ball to talk. You know, the last night here, the ladies just entered SEC play against Vanderbilt. Greg and I were both at that game. And, man, what a fun game to watch. That was just straight 40 minutes of dominance.
That's a fun – I mean, they're a fun team to watch.
Yeah.
And I know we've put it out before, and Christy Thomas put it out today. You know, if you haven't been out, I mean, these tickets are not that expensive.
No.
There's plenty of tickets available, but it's a great atmosphere. The pep band's there. The dance team's out. Mm-hmm. The cheerleaders are there. And they're just really, really fun to watch. Yep. I would have to go back and look at the stats, but I just now noticed looking at the stats, they held Vanderbilt to under double digits in the second quarter again.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing we've noticed with this team is that the second quarter has been owned by Kentucky in every game that they've played. What has been the struggle up to this point is the first quarter. For the last couple games here, they've come out sluggish. They came out red hot. Macy had like 11 points in the first quarter or something close to that, 8 points maybe. I think it was 8 of the first 14 points she had. And I mean, she just came out hot. Ryan Howard was making shots. They were all over the place. And because they started off that strong, they literally just never let up. And you could tell as the game was progressing, they were getting in Vanderbilt's head. And one of the questions I asked them, you know, after the interview, so post game, was, do you feel like you got to them mentally before you did physically? Because it just seemed like they were rattled and Vanderbilt had no idea where to go with the ball. So that is just, there's so much energy that this team brings. It's just fun to watch because they just feed off of each other. And there's never a dull moment here.
No, there's not. And they just get after it and they love to support their teammates. I don't know how many times we saw girls try to take charges tonight. They didn't necessarily always get them. You had Taylor Murray who had 5 steals again. To go along with 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and only 7 points. But this is a really, really unselfish team. Once again, had over 30 turnovers again this game.
29, and, I think. Yeah,
they ended up with 29. Turnovers with 30 points off of that. Just to watch these girls get after it. Like we said, some of the keys to the game for us tonight was going to be what kind of start did we get in the first quarter. And to come out and dominate them 21-15, to have that hot start, to have the defense working from the jump was really great to see. The other question was, how are they going to deal with their 6'5 big girl from Boston College transfer, originally from Athens, Greece, in Mariella Fasula? And they handled her pretty well.
Yeah.
They really, anytime she got her hands on the ball, they crashed the board on her. She only wound up with 6 points for the game. She did get some of our girls in foul trouble, but just because of the way that we were playing them, she had 6 rebounds and 12 points. I'm sorry. So really held her to a low-scoring game. Mm-hmm. And what I like is in the paint, we almost kept even with them in the paint.
Yep.
Which, as anybody that follows the team knows, we don't have a true center.
Nope.
And when number 34 got tired, in came another girl that was 6'5".
Yeah.
So it wasn't, it was like just replacing it with another one. You know, getting after the boards tonight, too, was big for us. We had 12 points off second chance, but our bench was dominant tonight, 27 points to their 8,
yeah. which yeah, is huge. It was, I think every girl that played more than like 3 or 4 minutes scored a point in this game. And so that was fun to watch, but just you can see the game planning. And Coach Mitchell talked about it after the game. He said, you know we're undersized. We know what we're good at and what we're probably going to lack at or where the other team's going to have an advantage on us. And we just use our strengths to the advantage because they had the combination of Jada Roper, they had Amanda Pascal and Taylor Murray, those three guards out there that are quick and will get in your face. And when they had them out there, it almost seemed like Vanderbilt didn't even get the ball down low and into the paint because there was turnovers. They were causing chaos. The shot clock was running out. They were throwing the ball away. It was just – it was insane. So you can tell – that they're going to use those strengths with what they have in the backcourt there to minimize some of the size that they're going to face. Because even starting with next week, they go down to Starkville to play Mississippi State on Sunday. And Mississippi State's very good. They're going to be big, and so is the majority of these SEC teams that they play. That they're just going to be at a disadvantage because of that.
Yeah, and take Amanda Pascal for an example. She had an amazing reverse layup tonight underneath the board.
Yeah, that was nasty.
It was sick.
Yeah.
But here's a girl that comes out there. She gave us 16 minutes tonight, and you wouldn't notice it from a stat line. She scored 4 points. She shot 50%. She had one foul, and she turned the ball over once. So when you look at that, you're kind of like, what did this girl really do for us tonight? But if you watch this game and watch how she gets after it on defense, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And like we said, this team can score at will when they want to. We only had two girls in double scoring figures tonight, but you had Kiki who was right at 9. You had Blair who was right at 9 as well. So very easily we could have had 4 to 5 girls in double figures, you know, if they weren't so unselfish with their play.
Right. Yeah. And so I think, you know, these girls are going to have a tough road ahead of them coming up into SEC play, you know, with between Tennessee, between Texas A&M, between Mississippi State. There's going to be a lot of really good teams in the conference this year, but I think the girls have already shown and gone above and beyond what everybody thought they could, besides them, you know, in the locker room, what they thought they could up to this point. So keep coming out and supporting them. Get out and watch a game, like Greg said, if you haven't already. They're just fun to watch. We love covering them. So when we come back, though, we're going to get into men's basketball, talk a little bit of Alabama coming up and kind of dive into their plus. The fattest thing that Greg and I at least did this week. I don't know what Max did, but.
And to finish up on the girls, we'll have a preview of the Mississippi State game on Sunday.
Yes.
During our show, because they play at 5. We're on the air from noon to 1 on 590 WVLK. So tune into our broadcast that day to get a preview of the big game against Mississippi State, their first big road SEC test for the year.
You're listening to BB and Chalk Talk presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling.
Yo, this is your cup holder talking, the little round thing between your car seats. Now, I normally have a nice cold bottle of Mountain Dew in me, but at the moment, I'm empty. That's right, no Mountain Dew. Nothing in here but a couple of quarters and a dime. A fully capable cup holder like me just carrying your loose change. Look, I'm not made for loose change. I'm made to keep Mountain Dew within reach at all times, just inches from your hand. So find a store already. Grab some Dew, toss it back, then place that bottle where it belongs. Mountain Dew. Do the Dew.
Question, do you manage a business that uses advertising to market to your customer base? Today, there are more marketing channels, mediums, and opportunities than at any other time in our history. It's a fact. Radio's audience continues to grow, adding new listeners by the millions every year. And now with podcasts and more streaming audio in the mix, the universe of listeners continues to expand. When it comes to impacting consumer behavior, nothing succeeds quite like radio. Listening to a show is an activity that involves our attention, our imagination, and our engagement. Psychologists believe this sort of cognitive processing is why radio is so much more effective at influencing behavior. And because radio is so often part of our communities and daily habits, it is one of the most trusted ways to advertise, whether it is getting people to go online and make a purchase, stopping it to a restaurant, or spreading the word for a product. Nothing works better than radio. Do you think partnering with BB and Chalk Talk to advertise is a good fit for your company? Want to know all the different ways we can help you reach more customers? Contact us today at info@bbandchalktalk.com, and we will follow up immediately to answer your questions.
Welcome back to BB and Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottlers. This is Matt and Greg finishing off here. No Max for the rest of the segment.
It's not a bad thing. It's like we're on vacation.
It is. It's great. It's quiet. We love it. So we talked women. We've talked a little football. Now we want to talk some basketball on the men's side. Starting SEC play as well here on Saturday at noon. They are down in Tuscaloosa taking on Alabama. We will not be traveling to the game, but we will definitely be watching.
One time that we can say we want Bama without fearing repercussion.
Yes. Yes. 100%. So we talked a little bit about this, you know, on the cruiser show that we did on Monday, and you know, really when you're looking at Alabama, they're sitting at 9-3 right now. The thing with those three losses are they are some pretty bad losses. You look at a loss to UCF. They lost to Northeastern, not Northwestern, Northeastern.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I don't either. And it's like one of those made-up teams on the video games that they just have you play against in the beginning. But and then they blew a 22-point lead to Georgia Southern and lost on a buzzer-beater three-pointer. So some brutal losses already. But they, you know, they've played a couple teams that, you know, Arizona, Penn State, teams like that, that I guess you can give some credibility to. But they're open in SEC play as well, obviously. And really, I think for me, there's only a couple guys that you really got to watch out for that are kind of their standout guys. I think Donta Hall, their senior forward, is one of their guys. It's just one of those all-around players.
Yeah, he's scoring in double figures, and he also gets a little over 8 rebounds a game, too. So he's one of those very active. He's all SEC defensive team as a junior. So he's one that we definitely have to get a body on and keep an eye on throughout this game.
Yeah. And the other guy is one of their freshmen, which I'm excited to see kind of Hagans go against him and see what he can do against them. But Kyra Lewis Jr. Is a freshman point guard for them. He's their leading scorer, averaging about 15 points per game, shooting 40% from three. I think it's just going to be another challenge and another chance for Ashton to prove himself.
Yeah, he's going, and this is a good statement game for him to come out. Once again, this is an Alabama team that you really don't know what they're about right now. Like you said, they're 9-3, but those three losses have been like, what? Yeah. Who showed up that day?
Exactly.
You never know who, and that's a team that you never know who's going to show up. It's our opener at home for SEC play. So the guys got to go down and be ready and come out and play their ball. I think it's another one, just like Coach Mitchell said in his press conference after the game. They know who they are. Mm-hmm. They know what they do. Yep. And that's what they need to focus on and go do.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same thing for Cal's guys, too.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest things that, you know, he's impressed with and what he keeps talking about is these guys finding a role. And I think we're starting to see that form. What I think the kind of the next piece to this puzzle and what Coach Payne alluded to in the press conference is that guys like E.J. Montgomery, guys like Nick Richards, they're doing things right that these coaches want to see in practice, but they're still trying to figure out where to put them. And it's a good problem to have as a team when you have guys like that that are doing well and that are playing well and you want to get them playing, but you just can't find somewhere really to definitively put them. It's not great for those guys individually, but it's a good problem for us to have. And if they can figure out where to get a guy like E.J. Montgomery fit in and at the right spot at the right time, like, he's going to cause some damage. We've already seen him do that. So I'm just excited for them to see – what this SEC grind's all about. These guys, a lot of these guys haven't gone through this. Now, the good thing is we've had guys that have gone through conference play already that are on the team that can help out a little bit. But it's going to be a grueling schedule like we've talked about. And getting it kicked off with Alabama, can't take it lightly, but I think these guys can take care of business.
Yeah, and everybody kind of puts some emphasis on it. You know, it's your first SEC road game. But these guys have been on the road at Louisville and the most heated rivalry they're probably going to face. And then they've also been on two neutral site games that, yes, they're a neutral site game, but they were games that fan bases traveled heavily to.
Right.
And where they played top-ranked teams in it. So they've got to get that, and this is probably hard for freshmen to learn, and that's why I'm thankful that Reed is there to kind of show them it needs to be a business trip mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to work.
Yep.
But we've pretty much owned Alabama the last few years.
Yeah, the funniest part here is looking through some of this pregame stuff that they sent out to the media, and this the series note here between Alabama and Kentucky. It's the 150th meeting. They go through, you know, some of the ways that they've played. The last sentence says Kentucky owns a 112-37 edge in the all-time series.
That's an edge. That's a sharp edge.
Well, yeah. It's an edge with a very large drop-off. That is not just a very slight edge. So that's that made me laugh when we were kind of reading through that there. But yeah, it's you know, this is one of those games that we have a chance to get better. We have a chance to start off on the right foot and start to make some noise here in the conference and earn that number one preseason finish that everybody thinks that Kentucky's capable of having, and then kind of lost faith there a little bit, but it started to come back. So you just can, as long as they can continue to carry over what they have done against Louisville, against UNC, that I think that's all we're asking for at this point is they continue to get better.
Definitely, and it's a statement game. I mean, make no qualms about it. You have to come out. You cannot afford to have an early season loss.
No.
Not in the SEC this year. You got Mississippi State ranked at 17, Auburn's at 12, and Tennessee's at 3, and very well could make an argument for being number 2, if not competing for the number 1 spot. So we've got a lot of good ball that's going to be coming our way that we can't afford to stub our toe against somebody that we should go out and dominate like Alabama.
Right. Exactly. So we'll be excited to watch that kick into SEC play. We'll be trying to cover as much as we can on Tuesdays and Saturdays going forward here for the men, and then obviously same for the women. But, yeah, I don't know. Anything?
We'll have a full recap of this game on our show Sunday on 590 WVLK, where Lexington comes to talk.
Yep.
Not along with our preview of the Mississippi State game for the women. We'll have a complete wrap-up of the men. And let you know what's going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned, listen up to us, and we'll get you everything that we can. We're attempting to provide this year as good a coverage with basketball as we try to do with football. It's a little bit difficult for some of us because we're not as into basketball. Anybody that listened to our show last year knows that I checked out whenever we start talking round orange ball. And now that's jobs left up to Max.
Yes, to check out.
To check out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I'm glad someone else decided to pay attention to basketball like me, so it wasn't just me talking, and we could actually have some banter questions. Back and forth. It's great. Yeah. So, no, this is good. It's one of those things that basketball's always been a passion of mine. Even though I played football, my mom was always upset that I didn't end up playing basketball because that's what she played in college. And so I've always loved basketball, just never been as good as I was football. So I still pay attention and, for the most part, know what's going on. Just
I know enough to get me in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun this year. Really, it's fun covering any sport that we cover this year. Because, like I said, everything's cool. Everybody after the football game has been saying, oh, is UK now a football and a basketball school? Nope. Everything's cool.
Everything.
Yep. You name it. We're good at it.
So, I think since the break, the girls right now are 14-1. I don't think we lost a game during the Christmas break.
Yeah, I don't know. We didn't.
In any of the sports that we competed in. So, that's good to see. So we don't have a Godby here to tell us what the fasting,
what kind of intermittent fasting he did this week.
Oh, I could not believe that. I hope to get the audio from 590 to a VLK, because if you did not hear our show on Monday, Matt dropped the bomb on us that he likes to do intermittent fasting.
Yeah. Max did.
Yeah. Max does.
Max is
not Matt. Max.
Not Matt. Definitely not me. Max likes to do intermittent fasting, and that was like intermittent fasting for me is what I just, you know, what we did last night at the basketball game where we ate before, and then I had to fast through the game until I left here and could go get more food.
Yeah, to go get more food.
Yeah, that was my fasting.
And it was good food, too.
Yeah.
Wasn't my chicken strips that I wanted, but I will take a plate of brisket over.
Yeah. It was good brisket, too.
Yeah, it was.
I saw the fat on there, nice trim of fat that was nice and cooked as well, so you could just
eat it. And so they had a pasta salad and the brisket, so I just got a plate of brisket. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
And then the cheesecake and pecan pie, which hopefully.
And they had Derby pie up there, and of course, had to sample all of them. So,
yeah, why not?
Had to find out. But yeah, I would say, and we talked about this, it wasn't even the fattest thing I did this week. For me, the fattest thing that I did this week is when I got back to work after being off for like 10 days throughout all the holidays. I got back. and one of my coworkers had put like a little baggie, like a little Christmas gift baggie on my desk because I was gone before a lot of other people were.
For like 3 weeks.
Yeah, so I've been off for so long. So I got it when I got there, and I was like, oh, cool. And she wasn't there yet. So like I opened it, and it was like little Rice Krispie treats, some chocolate-covered pretzels, some M&Ms, things like that. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. Sounds like a great breakfast to me. So I started eating it while I'm like getting my, you know, stuff going and getting the day going here. And she gets there and she was like, hey, did you get the candies that I left you before? And I was like, oh, I did. I've already finished them. And she was like, today was your first day back, right? I was like, yeah. So, before I even got the thanker for them, I went ahead and ate them. And that was all before 8 o'clock in the morning. So, I got called out on it, so that was fun.
that was fun. For me, it was probably as I was making dinner last night. So I did some boneless baby back ribs and some mac and cheese and some baked beans and some broccoli, because you got to have some
green. Have some green. Garnish. Yeah.
But it wasn't so much that dinner, other than the fact of while I was cooking and prepping, I was getting stuff out of the refrigerator, and I saw I had half a thing of buffalo chicken dip left from the ball game the other day.
Yes, that's always a great find.
Buffalo chicken dip. I'll get that out and just occasionally snack on it while I'm making. You know, I hollered out at Greg, see if he wanted some. I don't know if he's listening or not.
Yeah.
I warmed it up, set the chips out, and then, like, started cooking dinner.
Yeah.
Just wasn't thinking about it. Until I called the family in to get their plates for dinner. And somebody goes, what happened to all the buffalo chicken dip? And I was like,
fell on the floor.
I warmed it up. I sat on the counter. They're like, the pan's empty. And I'm like, oh, maybe that's why I'm not that hungry right now.
That's so weird.
Odd. So that would probably be finishing off the other half of the pan of buffalo chicken dip from the bowl game.
I could see you sitting there yelling, not even yelling, just saying, hey, guys, buffalo chicken dip ready. And he's like, what'd you say right now? Nothing.
Chicken dip sound. So, yeah. And then today I got the, hey, sure wish I had some buffalo chicken dip when I got off work to come home and snack on. I was like, yeah, I bet you do.
Why don't you go ahead and make some? Yeah. And save some for me.
Everything's in the cabinet. You know how to make it. Go right ahead.
God.
So that would probably be.
That's great. Yeah, that's pretty solid.
So I would guess that if Max were here, he would probably say like he had 4 almonds today.
Yeah. But he separated them all like 2 hours apart from each other.
And probably
might
have had a regular Coke.
Oh, wow. That would be fat for him. Yeah.
Mm. Hit instead of a Pepsi Max Zero, just go full leaded or something.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Speculations. You never know. And that's why we need Ashley.
Yes.
100%. Because she drops the knowledge bombs from Max on us.
Yeah. Love it.
But that's our show for today.
That's it. That is it. Football and some basketball.
Football and some basketball. Gotta love it. That's what it is right now. I mean, it's pretty much now going to be all basketball.
Yeah, all basketball. Yeah.
For about a month and a half, baseball and softball get kicked off right when we get back from Christmas break. The kiddos get back. I think it is the 9th. The students come back to UK and we'll be back in. And they will start practicing right away. And we got first games coming up for them right around the middle of February.
Yeah.
They start at it. The girls' softball team, they did it right. They're in Florida and California like the first 3 weeks.
Good for them. That's smart.
First 3-4 weeks, they're out of town. They don't have a home game till the middle of March. They start playing the first week of February. They don't have a home game till the middle of March because they're in Palm Springs. Out in California, down in Florida.
Yeah.
Wish I had the budget to travel and cover them
extensively. See if UK will cover expenses if you travel with them to cover them the whole time.
Yeah, if I go to cover. But then the guys kick off right around the same time. They're in the middle of February. They do have a couple of games on the road down at Austin Peay, down at Texas Tech. But then they come home for almost like a month straight with some really good baseball to be played. And then they'll start SEC play. A couple weeks after that. So we'll have that coming up. Track and field's getting kicked off here again real soon. Actually, they'll be starting up next week, the 11th. We have the Green Invitational, which used to be the Kentucky Invitational, which will be here in town, starting off with them. Gymnastics is getting kicked off here real soon. Actually, this week. Mm-hmm. They start Saturday. They're at Texas Women's University. Not sure. There's 1,000 colleges in Texas. I'm not sure which one that is. And then they're at the University of Illinois next week. And then they'll open up at home on Friday, January the 18th, in a meet against Arkansas.
Nice.
So
love it.
Lots of stuff going on. So it's not just going to be round ball for us. You know, it was one of our goals whenever we took this new venture on and brought on G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling and other sponsors that we wanted to be able to provide everybody with full coverage of UK athletics.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome. Stay tuned. Listen in.
Stay tuned. We'll be back Sunday. WVOK 590, 97.3.
Max will be with us.
Hopefully Max will be with us. And then got the women's basketball game right after that we'll be tuned in for. So stay with us. And we got a lot of exciting stuff coming up. So you've been listening to Max and Greg on BBN Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling. Have a great afternoon and go Cats.